You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Mark's second chapter. You know, a couple weeks ago I started teaching on authority. Everybody say authority. On Wednesday nights. We try to do a series on Wednesdays and a series on Sundays. And I started teaching a couple weeks ago on authority and some explaining why the world's kind of mess it's in. You know, a lot of what's wrong with the world's not God. God's not meticulously in control of everything that takes place in life. He's not, we think of God as all power. Actually, God is love. He is all powerful, but he's not all controlling. He is sovereign in the sense that he made the world and it obeys the rules he made. But he gave us free will, knowing that we could make the wrong choice, and we often do. Knowing that we don't always do his will, we often mess up and rebel and don't do his will. God could prevent us from doing that. I mean, he could have made robots, but he didn't. He could have made a world where he controlled every little detail. He could have done it. He's God, do whatever he wants to. But we know from the Bible he didn't make a world like that. And the world that we live in is subject not to just God's will, but also your will and also the devil's will. You can rebel against God. You can be hateful and mean and sinful. You can be holy and nice and kind. And are you with me? And a lot of what's wrong with the world, it's an old story. It's all in the Bible. It's there in Genesis, is the fall of man. We see where man fell in Genesis 1. And when he fell, Genesis 3, when he fell, the world fell with him. The world wasn't made in such a way that it is right now. It didn't have all this death and all this sin in it right that we have right now. And the scripture says, through sin came death. Hello? Well, whose sin was that? That wasn't God's sin. God didn't sin. So you can't attribute death to God because death's a result of sin. Thank you for your enthusiasm. God's good, devil's bad. I hate to inform you that, but that's the truth nonetheless. If you want some bad news, you came to the wrong church. But what's wrong with the world, of course, is the entrance of sin, the sin of Adam. And if you go back to Genesis 1, we find where God made man. He actually gave him authority. That's an amazing thing. You know, God didn't make us to serve him. We often think that. He made us to fellowship, to love, and he made us to extend his authority. Mm-hmm. Actually, God made us to share authority with. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, the Bible says, Genesis 1:26. And let them have dominion. That's the first thing he said. He didn't say, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them serve us. No, it says let them have dominion. Right. So actually what God did, he made creation, the creator made creation. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's why we call it creation. He made the world, but he made the world for man. Right. Yeah. We're just quoting scripture here. I mean, it's all through the scripture. He didn't make the world for himself. Made the world for man. Because when he made it all and he got it all ready and he got it all fixed up and got all the animals in it and all the seas and all the, you know, and got the times and seasons all fixed and got the sun shining in the day and the moon at night and all that, then he made man and put him in it and he says, let him have dominion. Yeah. Is that what your Bible says? That's what mine says. So actually, Jesus is Lord of lords. That's also scripture. And king of kings. That's in the word too. And so he's not king of slaves and lord of... Are you with me? He's lord of lords and king of kings. Now we're not the lord and we're not God. And obviously we're all subject to him. And we're not creators. He is the creator. He's God. We serve and worship him. But he made us to serve and he made us to rule with him. In fact, you know what the Bible says? It says we'll rule with him with a rod and iron. That's what Scripture says. It didn't say we'll just serve him. We do serve him, no question. But we serve him as rulers under him. We serve him as princes and rulers and so on and so forth. And you're supposed to rule your world. You're supposed to rule. That's why he told you to pray, because he put you down here to make a difference. Woo! That's why the devil got an inroads, because Adam didn't take his authority. He didn't rule as he should have ruled. He didn't kick the devil out. Yeah. Yeah. He let the devil in the garden. And then he let the devil influence him. And then he yielded himself to the devil. And of course, Romans 6 says, who you yield yourself to He it is that becomes your Lord, whom you yield your servants to. And at that point, the devil became the Lord of Adam. And the devil now has an inroad through mankind into the earth. I think that's interesting, too, because even the devil has to have a man to work through, or a mother-in-law, you know, somebody. Or a son-in-law. Okay, let's get everybody covered here. You know, he's got to work through somebody, because the earth was made not for the devil. The earth was made for man. You know what was made for the devil? Hell was made for the devil. So the Bible says it's made for the devil and his angels. You weren't supposed to go there. That wasn't originally in God's plan. That happened because man sinned. People go to hell because of Adam's sin, but originally hell was made for the devil and his angels, is what the scripture said. In fact, Jesus said that. But since sin came into the picture, now people go to hell because of sin. But we weren't made for that. That wasn't what we were made for. See, people in hell never reach their destiny. They never reach their... They're never fulfilled. They're never completed. We're only complete in Christ. Everybody in hell is incomplete. They never became what they were supposed to be. They never saw completion and fulfillment in their lives. They never became solid enough, real enough to live in heaven. They were left unfulfilled and uncompleted because we're only complete in Christ. That's what we were made for. This is our destiny. It's heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. But when you go through, when you look at the earth, according to the scripture, God made it, but he gave it to the children of men. Psalms 115 tells us that. He gave the earth to the children of men. We know from Psalms 8, I'm quoting some scriptures that actually we looked at a couple weeks ago. We know that, what is man that thou art mindful of him, nor the son of man that thou visited him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Our Bible says, actually, it's God. Made him a little lower than gods. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. Everybody say Elohim. Elohim means gods. That's what the word means. If you want another verse that uses that, Genesis 1:26. And God said, Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. It's the same Hebrew word, no different word. So actually, we weren't made lower than the angels. We were made lower than God. We were made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Genesis 1:26. We're not like the birds and the bees, and we're not like the whales, and everybody's trying to say the whales want to kill the babies, you know. But actually, God is just the creator of the world and all the animals and all the fish and all the birds, but he is the father of mankind. He birthed us. And we fell through Adam. The only way we can get saved, get right again, is to be born again. And we were. We were born again in Jesus. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to put us back right. See, to get us back right. We were all messed up till he came. And we were lost. And the problem with us was not what we were doing. The problem with us was who we are. And can a leper change his spots? Well, no, not without a miracle. Can a man enter the second time to his mother's womb? No, he can't. But that wouldn't save you anyway. If you were born 100 times in this earth, it wouldn't save you again. You had to be born from above. Born from heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus did, he came down here and undid or fixed or righted what Adam messed up. Everybody say righted. Okay. I create words, okay? I do. I just, you know. But anyway, he fixed it, see? In Adam, the Bible says all die. In Christ, all are made alive. By man, the Bible says, came death. By man came the resurrection of the dead. Ooh, I love that. Isn't that good? I mean, that's when you think about it, that's what took place there. We have all of mankind under the headship of Adam in sin and death and dying and going to hell. And the problem with us is who we are. We're a race of doomed people, lost people, unregenerate, dead to God people. And the only way we can go to heaven is to be made alive, be born again. And so we need someone to come, some man that's holy and sinless and spotless to come along and fix all this. But we got a problem. Everybody born into the earth is spotted. Everybody's tainted. Everybody's born through Adam, and so we're all born in sin. So Jesus comes along. He's not born through Adam. He's born from God, hallelujah. Through a woman, yes, but not through Adam. And so he doesn't carry the sin of man. And now we got a sinless man here that can restore us because we're all a bunch of slaves and slaves can't set slaves free. Anybody got interpretation that time? Slaves can't set slaves free. Hey, we got a problem. That's what I'm saying. We got a problem, and we need a free man to set us free, but we're none of us are born free. But Jesus comes along, he's born free. He doesn't have Adam's sin. His daddy's God. He actually is God, who became a man. And so now God comes along. Think about it now. He comes along to the earth, comes into the earth as a man. Well, that's pretty significant. He had to do that because the earth was made for man. Isn't that right? So if he's going to turn it back around and fix it, he's going to have to do it as a man because God gave the earth to man. And God gave authority to man. And so we need a man, a male without spot, without blemish. We saw it over and over, year after year, through the law where they brought those sacrifices. And finally Jesus comes along, John sees him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now we got a male without spot and without blemish. Now we got someone who wasn't born through Adam. We got Jesus, God himself, became a man and died for our sins as a man and took it back. And he rose from the dead as a born-again man, as the firstborn from the dead. That's awesome stuff, man. I mean, that's a lot of stuff in a nutshell all throughout there. But it helps you put it all in perspective, too. What's wrong with the world is not God. What's wrong with the world is man. Now, what Jesus restored to us was not just a relationship with God. What he restored to us was not just life. Okay, he did that. But he restored authority to us. We often miss that. I mean, we go through our whole lives as Christians sometimes and miss that whole point. Jesus came to restore authority. He walked the earth as a sinless man, the way a sinless man should walk. And he got his disciples around him, and he showed them what to do, and then he rose from the dead, and he said, "All power or authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Mark 16 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are you with me? Speak in new tongues. Drink any deadly thing that won't hurt them. Take up serpents." That's the power of the enemy. That's not regular snakes. You see a snake, I'm shooting a snake, okay? That's symbolic of the devil. Serpents, take up serpents. Just like what Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you power. Tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Power of the enemy would mean serpents and scorpions was symbolic of that. Revelation 12 says that old serpent, the devil. So we know that's demonic power. And who tempted Eve and Adam in the garden? In the serpent, the devil, through the serpent. So that's symbolic. That's not. Now you may go to Kentucky in those churches and get those snake charmers and you pick up those snakes if you want to. We won't be doing that at International Outreach Church. We get around snakes, we'll do what Paul did on the Isle of Malta. We'll shake it off, okay? Shake it off. But there again, if you look at the point I'm making here is you've got authority there. That's what Jesus restored over the devil. The devil didn't make you do anything. As a Christian, as a believer, you have authority over the devil. That's what Jesus came to restore. And we need to, through prayer, through praying and believing God, fix things and restore things. That's what Jesus did. I mean, his miracles were miracles of fixing things, weren't they? Making blind eyes see, making crippled legs walk, and making withered hands stretched out. And I mean, he was fixing things. Are you with me? He had authority to do that because he was a man. He was God, but that wasn't where he got his authority. Oh boy. Now, see, that almost sounds sacrilegious when you... I mean, you get crossways, your eyes cross, you look at a cow, look at a new gate when you hear that. But he had his authority because he was a man. Where did I tell you to turn to? Mark 2, that's a good chapter. Mark 2, let's look at that. Mark 2. Are you with me? You tracking with me?
Yeah.
Don't just write it off now if it sounds new to you. In fact, just chew on it, think about it. Jesus is God, we know that, and God made the world, no question about that. And you say, "Well, you're saying God doesn't control everything." Yes, I am. I am saying that. And the Bible says the same thing. He could if he wanted to. I mean, we're not taking away from his sovereignty, his ability. I mean, he could do whatever he wants to. He chose not to. Don't you think God has the right to choose whatever he wants to choose? Sure he does. And God's who he says he is, not who we say he is. He's who he says he is in the Bible. That's interesting in Mark 2. This is an interesting scenario. Just lay it out for you. The disciples on the Sabbath day went through this cornfield and started eating corn. Y'all out there? Well, the Pharisees didn't like that. The Pharisees were very religious, and you didn't work on the Sabbath day, and they figured that was work, and that wasn't right. And they were just getting all upset about it and out of sorts about it, and they always got out of sorts about anything that wasn't just religious, you know. They didn't really hate healing. They just didn't want you to get healed in church. That's right. I mean, that's several accounts. They get upset when Jesus would heal. And Jesus loved rattling their cage. He would just heal people in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And they would just come unglued that he would do something like that, you know. Well, here they were. They were eating corn on the Sabbath day. Oh, my goodness. Oh, terrible. And as they went through and plucked the heads of corn, 24th verse, it says, and the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? I mean, they were like God's policemen. You know, that's some preachers are that way, incidentally. They're just looking for an infraction, looking for some violation, you know, looking for something wrong. You know, I heard it said at a conference, I think it was... We're just talking about the guy for proof, Berger, Robert Berger. I believe he said this at a conference in Michigan. That guy was there at that conference. Brother and I. He said, you know, the world knows what the church is against. Do they know what the church is for? I think it's sad that a lot of the world knows what we don't believe in. They know what we're against, you know, sins we're against. But they don't have a clue what we're for. But I think sometimes we're at fault because we talk more about what we're against than what we're for. And so the Pharisees, that's the way they were. They were just against everything. They were just looking for somebody to violate, you know, somebody to do something wrong where they can write them up. Kind of like the Muslim world, incidentally. You get in a very strict Muslim country. I mean, they are just watching for someone to violate something. So they can cut your hand off and stone you and kill you. And religion's hard. Well, here they were. They were eating corn on the Sabbath day, God forbid. 25th verse, but he said to them, Jesus said this, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went in the house of God on the days in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which was not lawful to eat except for the priest. And thus gave it also to his men. I don't have my glasses, so I'm trying to quote this, really. That story is real simple. David was running from Saul, and running from Saul with his men, he didn't have time to get his weapons, didn't have time to get supplies. He came to the city where Abiathar was the priest, and he said, do you have any bread? And he said, I just have this in the, you know, in the tabernacle here, the temple. He says, well, I need some tabernacle. He said, I need some. So he gave it to him, and he ate it. It was fine, okay? Wasn't the end of the world. I mean, the bread was made to eat. Hello. So Jesus is saying, well, don't you even remember that? Didn't you read that where David actually ate the showbread? They just ate corn on the Sabbath. Went through a field and ate corn. And he said to them, listen to this. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man also is Lord of the Sabbath. Wow. So the Sabbath was made for man. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath because the Sabbath was made for man. Isn't that right? Did you read it that way? Okay. Now, he didn't say he was the Lord of the Sabbath because he was the Son of God. He didn't say he was the Lord of the Sabbath because he was God. He said he was the Lord of the Sabbath because he was the Son of Man, a perfect, sinless, holy man. That's why everything obeyed Jesus, because that's the way perfect, sinless, holy men operate. I dare say we'll operate that way until we're redeemed completely, but we get bits and pieces of it as we get in faith and so on and so forth. Are you with me? In the new heaven, the new earth, everything will obey when you talk and when you speak because it was made for you. And there are times when you really get in faith and pray, things begin to change and things begin to happen when you get in faith and pray because that's what you're here to do, is to rule and to fix it. Because the earth was made for man. And this is interesting, this term, Son of Man. Everybody say Son of Man. Son. You know, the term Son of Man was Jesus' pet term. It's what he used of himself more than any other thing. In fact, 32 times in Matthew, 15 times in Mark, 26 times in Luke. 12 times in John. He called himself the Son of Man. He only called himself the Son of God 5 times in all 4 Gospels put together. He was the Son of God. We know that. There's no question here about that. But what gave him his authority was he became a man. And the earth was made for man. And the Sabbath was made for man. Now granted, he's a perfect sinless man. He is the antithesis of Adam. He was the last Adam. So when he comes along, he's Lord. Because God came into the earth legally. He came into the earth as a man. He made it for man. To redeem it, he was going to have to become a man because the earth was made for man. He gave man authority. Hello. And every time Jesus talked about his authority, he used the term Son of Man. He didn't use the term Son of God. Well, here, this is talking about authority. And what does he say? Son of Man. Earth was made, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. You know who should be Lord of the earth? Under God, yes. Stay with me. You know who should be Lord of the earth? You. The earth shouldn't be Lord of you. Circumstance shouldn't be Lord of you. Tragedy shouldn't be Lord of you. You should be Lord of it. Now, granted, we go through bits and pieces here, and we're not fully matured, and we're probably not going to reach perfection in the natural while we're on this earth. But one day we're going to come back, and there's not going to be any question about this. Are you with me? And we get bits and pieces of it as we get in faith and pray. That's why God said, Jesus himself said in Matthew 6, chapter 9, verse, he says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What? In earth as it is in heaven. Well, have you prayed for heaven lately? You got no business praying for heaven. That's not your domain. This is where you are. God, in other words, God takes care of heaven, doesn't he? No one gets sick up there. Nobody, you know, runs out of money and needs a stimulus package or whatever. Get me off that. But down here, we need a lot of help, don't we? And we need God to help us, no question. But you see, God helps us through us. He helps the earth through us. He helps the earth as men and women pray. Why? Because God made the earth for man. And when you pray, he'll show up. That's why he says, you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the earth was made for man. Right, exactly. See, God couldn't just jump down here and fix everything. Because he'd violate his own word to do that. Right. Yeah. He had to become a man to fix everything. Right. Now the thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come legally. The devil is a liar and a deceiver. He doesn't have a body. He has no right down here except through your permission, as it were. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, waiting for you to give permission. And, of course, a lot of people have given him permission. He's deceived a lot of people into thinking that we're just no more different than a whale or a white owl or some rare cricket somewhere. They shut down a whole housing addition just to save a cricket. Listen, I love creation. I'm not about going out shooting spotted whales. I'm not trying to load up my gun and kill all the spotted whales or spotted owls. Either one. It's been a long day, people. Stay with me. But this idea that we're all in this together and we're some kind of human animal, that is foreign to the Scripture.
That's right.
We're lords of the earth.
Yes.
We are lords of the sky. We are lords of the road. We are lords of the sea. We've proven that over and over. We've done that in the natural. What we've missed out on is the spiritual authority that we have in Christ. And we hadn't prayed in faith. We hadn't believed God. Therefore, we hadn't seen a lot of miracles. And we hadn't seen a lot of God working in our life. We're kind of waiting around on Him. He's waiting on us.
Yeah.
Jesus came and restored our position. As the Son of Man, He restored that. As a man, He beat the devil at His own game. Wow. And He did what He did as a man, not as God. Now, if He did what He did as God, stick the fork in, we're done. You're not God, never going to be. You couldn't copy Him. You couldn't follow Him. You couldn't do what He did. But isn't it interesting that Jesus said in John 14:12, He said, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Yeah. Great.
And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, that whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah.
Now, how can I copy Jesus? How could you copy Jesus? Come on, he's God. Well, he's asking us to copy what he did as a man.
Right.
And he healed the sick as a man. He had authority as a man.
Yeah.
Woo! It's good stuff. You know, Mark 2, is that where y'all are?
Yeah.
Mark 2, yeah. Well, let's look at another one, Mark 2. This is a real good one. In Mark 2, this is where the man let down through the roof. You know, he had four friends, and they got there, and of course it was all crowded, and there was no room for anybody to come in, not even at the door. Jesus said, the Bible says Jesus preached the word to them. Okay, and they couldn't get in, so they just got up on the roof, took the roof off, let that man right. I mean, talk about a front row seat. They took the roof off and let the man sick of the palsy right through the roof, right to Jesus. Jesus seeing their faith. Everybody say seeing their faith.
Seeing their faith.
Well, I mean, faith can be seen through action, through determination. And I really, it's passionate faith that gets miracles. It's passionate faith that gets healings. It's passionate faith that gets successful ministries. I mean, you can go right down the list. These people got miracles. They didn't just got, they weren't flipping about it. they tore roofs off. They came through press, through crowds, grabbed a hold of Jesus' garment. They cried out when everybody said, be quiet. They fell down at his feet. Come on. I mean, they were passionate. You get that passionate and serious and focused about something, you'll get a miracle. Most of what you pray for you don't get is because you're not focused. I can say that for me. How about you? But when I get focused and I get patient and I will not be denied, you know, that's faith. Faith is a focus. It's a determination. It's a bold, passionate determination. Will not quit till I get my miracle. That's what these people were doing, and that's what Jesus saw, and he saw their faith. Well, they got all upset and they said, who is this man forgive sins? Who can forgive sins but God only? Because he said, be of good cheer, thy sin to be forgiven thee. When I notice this, let's pick up here. In the second chapter, Mark, 8th verse. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit they so reasoned among themselves, he said, why do you reason these things in your heart? For whether it's easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or to say, take up your bed and walk. That's an interesting statement. Y'all believe Jesus?
Amen.
I believe Jesus. How many of you could say you're forgiven? Any problem saying that? I don't have any problem saying that. How about I'm saved? Can you say that? I mean, that's pretty easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it easier to say I'm forgiven? Or is it easier to say I'm healed? Well, it's easier to say I'm saved. Well, it shouldn't be. The point Jesus is making here is just easy to say one to say the other.
Yeah.
Isn't that the point he's making? We've made it hard. We've kind of relegated that to, you know, maybe 2,000 years ago or whatever, or maybe for special people, but not me. I mean, I know I'm saved. I'm forgiven, but I'm healed? Oh, I couldn't say that. Well, why not? It's same, just easy to say one to say the other. Okay. Just a side note, rabbit trail, but that rabbit had some meat on it. So he says, well, it's easier to say to the paralytic, you know, forgiven or be healed. Let's go a little further here. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power, that should be authority, on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and walked in the presence of them all, and they were amazed because they'd never seen it on this fashion. Now, what did he say? That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Well, wait a minute. He's God. I know he's God. Are you kidding me? I believe Jesus is God. No question he's God. He said he was God. But he had authority because he's a man. Who has authority? He said, that you may know the Son of Man has authority. I say unto you, you know, rise, take up your bed and walk. Jesus has life to give because he got his life from God. He's the Son of God, no question. He has authority in the earth because he's a man. You notice every time, I mentioned this the other night, I think I mentioned this last Wednesday night. Every time the devils spoke up, every single time the devil spoke up and challenged Jesus, they always challenged him because he was the Son of God. In every single case, they said, even the devil himself, he said, if thou be the Son of God. The devil and demons always called Jesus the Son of God. They never called him the Son of Man. They never referred to him not one time as the Son of Man. In fact, they really thought, I believe, this is my opinion, so don't run out here and say absolutely, but I think it makes sense. I believe they thought Jesus had no right to cast them out because he was the Son of God. In one place, they adjured him. They actually challenged him and rebuked him and said, I adjure you by God, torment me not. We know who you are, the Son of God. Like, you're not fooling us. You're God. You can't do this. We have a right to be here because man gave us right to be here. That's what they were saying. Right. You don't have a right to be here. You're God, and right now the earth is man's. Right. You know what Jesus said? Shut up and come out. Now, I know that may just blow you away. You may be thinking, well, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, go study it. Go study it out. Find one instance where the devil ever called Jesus the Son of Man. Or demons that rose up. They never did. They actually thought they had a case. See, but he wasn't casting them out as the Son of God. He was casting them out as the Son of Man. John 5. Hallelujah. See, what does this mean for us? Now think about it. What does that mean to us? Well, you know, if the devil gets all upset because you stand up and you come against him in Jesus' name, two things you need to pull out on him. First of all, pull out the Bible and say, okay, I have a right to do this. And then pull out your birth certificate and say, I was born here.
Yeah.
I was born here. Yeah, I lost it in Adam, but I got it back in Jesus. So I got my birth certificate and I've got the name of Jesus. Now one day Jesus will come back and take it all back. One day God will take it all back. But right now he has given it to men. What does the demon say? Have you come to torment us before the time? Before the time? There is a time coming where they'll have no foot to stand on because God's going to come back and take it all back. That time has not come yet. Until then, the earth is like in a lease, as it were. It has been made by God, but leased to us. Jesus even used the parable of the vineyard and explain that. Mark 12 chapter and also Matthew 20. Well, I don't have time to get into all that. But anyway, is this helping anybody?
Yeah, good.
Okay. Notice what it says here in John. Is it John 5 where I want to go?
Yeah,
5:24. Hallelujah. I am also healed in Jesus' name. Been fighting a migraine all day long, and the migraine's losing in Jesus' name. So if my left eye goes like that, don't pay any attention to it. I'm healed in Jesus' name. John 5:24. Is that clock working? Yeah. Okay. Don, could you push it back about 15 minutes or something? No. All right. 5:24. Notice what it says. Most surely I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We know that. And 25th verse says, most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody say Son of God. Okay. And those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Because Jesus' life came from God. So it's sinless, it's perfect, it's holy, and he has it to give. Okay, his life, the fact that he has life, comes from the fact that he is the Son of God. Different from anybody that's ever been born on the earth, except Adam, before he sinned. He has sinless life. And because he is the Son of God, he has life to give. Next verse. And 27th verse, well, 26 verse. For as the Father has life in Himself, He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. 27 verse. And He has given Him authority to exercise judgment also because He is the Son of Man. Y'all see the distinction?
Yeah.
His authority came because He was the Son of Man. His life came because He was the Son of God. That's fascinating that Jesus would call Himself the Son of Man over and over and over and over again. Because that gave Him His authority to speak, gave Him His authority to heal, gave Him His authority to fix the earth, to raise the dead, to stop storms, to cast out devils. Now, He was prophesied to come as the Son of Man. Daniel 7:13, I believe, says that. He was prophesied to come as the Son of Man. Wow, there's a card with all that on there. Didn't know I had that in here. Yeah, well, I already said all that, so anyway. He was prophesied to come. Healed in Jesus' name. Prophesied to come. Daniel 7:13, I believe it says that, "Behold, I saw the clouds, one coming on the clouds like unto the Son of Man, and His kingdom will have no end." Jesus is that prophesied one to come. But it's interesting, it says, like the Son of Man. See, man messed this up. Man fixed it. The man, Jesus Christ. The God-man, Jesus Christ. The Sabbath was made for man, therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Who was the earth made for? Man. He'd be Lord of the earth. Man. See, that's not a stretch. That's the way God made it. That's not undermining God. That's agreeing with what God said. That's understanding delegated authority. So if things are going to get right in your family and get right in your life, you're going to have to take some authority. As a man, as a woman, as mankind. You understand what I'm saying here? And you have the birth certificate to prove it, and you've got the Word of God to follow through with it. We can copy what Jesus did as a man after we're born again using His name. We could never copy what He did as God. Woo!
Good.
Hallelujah. Now, the devils didn't understand that, but I hope we're smarter than some of those devils.
Amen. Got the Word.
Got the Word. See, they didn't understand the Word. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, the Bible says. Lots they didn't know. I mean, they're highly intelligent, but about these kinds of things, we should be more intelligent. And the Scripture is very plain that you and I can make a difference. Hallelujah. That's why when you pray, things happen. That's why when you believe and you stand on the Word and you confess the Word, things happen. Because you were born into this earth legally. You came in legally as a person, as a human being. And you were born again and had your authority restored back to you through Christ Jesus. That's why He sent you out, me out, and all of us out as the church to continue on what He was doing. And He gave us His name. Listen, He didn't give His name to the devil. And He didn't give His name to the dogs, the cats. He didn't give His name to the cows. He gave His name to you and to me.
Yeah.